Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Uncommon Freedom Show. Normally it's myself and Becca, but today we have a very, very special guest. Don't tell the Labor Department that we got a minor here. We're putting him to work. And we're going to have a conversation about serving others and being grateful for all the blessings of being in America. I've got my 13-year-old son, Dylan Tinter, in the house. Dylan, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Go Suns?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Who you repping tonight?
Booker.
Excellent. So, 2024 is here. How's it going?
Pretty good.
So, today, I want to talk about a really cool opportunity we had. Less than a week before Christmas, we got to go to Mexicali, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for you?
Interesting.
Yeah, why don't you tell everyone what we did there?
Okay, so, like, just a general idea.
Yeah, just give them the Reader's Digest version.
We went with Will, a friend from Bakersfield, and then it was me, my brother, and my dad, and then a guy from Bakersfield who's friends with Will named Matt, and we helped out Mexicali, and we just, we had, like, this big event, and there was worship, and then Will spoke and shared his testimony, and then there's a pastor there named, Pastor Caesar.
Yep.
And then after that, we gave out toys and blankets to parents and kids. And weren't we expecting, I think we were expecting like 200 to 400 people.
They set up chairs for 300 people.
Yeah, and then like over 1,000.
Yeah.
They gave out like well over 1,000 people came, and like 500 people said yes to Jesus that day.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So our buddy Will, who pastors a church in Bakersfield, but he's heavily involved in a lot of different ministries. You guys have done some pretty cool stuff with Will in Bakersfield,
yeah,
right?
Like the Oasis Village and stuff.
Tell people about the Oasis Village.
It's like, obviously it's in Bakersfield, and it's like a place where people who, I don't know, it's just like it's like where people live, and they're like
really, it's a trailer park, right?
Yeah, for the most they're part. Really poor, and they live in like these tiny apartments, and like people live in their trailers there, mm-hmm. and there's like a lot of drug dealing there, and just like stuff, and then there was a fire there, like, within the last, like, couple months.
It was about 6 months ago, maybe so, 8 months ago.
It was not long.
Yeah.
But, there was a fire there a while ago, and, that burned down, like, a lot of their stuff. So, we donated money to, like, just help them, like, rebuild houses and, like, get new campers or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, this wasn't recent. It was, like, over a year ago when we went over the summer, but Will told us a story about how, it was during like early 2023, there were like 3 shootings there within like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like between 3 and 5 people died, and wow. It was just crazy.
It pretty exciting for a white boy from Gilbert to go yeah. to the Oasis, huh?
Yeah.
So, going back to Mexicali, we participated in purchasing toys and blankets. The toys were for the kids, and blankets were for some elderly folks that live in a, basically like a senior care facility,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So tell people about some of the facilities that the church there in Mexicali, that Pastor Caesar's church has.
So obviously Pastor Caesar has like a church with really good worship equipment. That was random. Just saying.
Yeah.
And then next door they have the senior home where they've like helped old people, and that like people live there and just like kind of help change them and hopefully bring them to Jesus.
Do you remember where a lot of those older people, those senior citizens have been rescued from?
Weren't they just like bad dads and like abusive parents?
Well, yeah, they shared the stories of a lot of the people there, but they had been rescued from, many of them had lived, some of them had lived in a trash dump, basically called Trash City.
Yeah.
Right. And there was one lady there who was there. She was resting on the couch, but they had said that she was blind, wasn't she?
Yeah. And she was also, wasn't she?
She was being sexually abused by people who whatever frequented or lived in the trash dump. They were taking advantage of her. And just tragic. And then, sadly, within just a couple of days of us coming home, She passed away.
No, it was the other old lady who was blind. It was the different. It was the one that we gave the. She wasn't the one that was like sitting on the couch.
Okay.
But it was she was older than the one that got.
Got it. But anyways, the one lady ended up dying within just a couple of days. And when you think about the lady who did die had been rescued from the trash city. So you think about it, if she'd still been there when she died, probably wouldn't have been buried. You know, it would just been like, oh, well, she's dead. And who knows what they do with bodies like that. So yeah. Pretty sad when you think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other building? Do you remember the other building?
There was the elderly home, and like right next door there was a home with a bunch of kids.
Basically an orphanage?
Yeah. That's the word. And it was between kids that were like, I think like four or five. And it was like 4 or 5 to like 10, 11.
Yeah.
And a lot of the kids were there kind of like a daycare for them. Like a little over half of them. Pastor Caesar said that it was like a daycare. Mm-hmm. And then some kids just lived there because like they were abused or just stuff like that.
Yeah. And you kind of touched on this. Do you remember what was one of the common themes of even the senior home? You kind of touched on this a minute ago.
That they're like abusive parents. And like abusive parents, and their kids didn't want them, so they
drugs.
Like dropped them off.
Well, yeah. So drug use was pretty common, especially among the men.
Yeah.
Which caused them to be horrible fathers, abusive mm-hmm. fathers. And it led their kids to the point where the kids didn't want their parents, didn't want to take care of their parents. And basically mm-hmm. that's why these parents ended up living on the streets or in Trash City. And, you know, pretty cool that they, through God's grace, were able to, you know, live out the rest of their days somewhere where they're at least cared for and they're fed and they have a roof over their heads, right?
Yeah.
And obviously the orphanage, the stories of some of the parents whose kids were there, very similar, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drugs, abuse, pretty tragic stuff. How does that make you feel?
Well, for starters, very blessed because, like, I don't have to worry about you guys doing drugs or, like, abusing me because, mm-hmm. for start, I'm in, like, a Christian foundation. Like, that's what we're built on. And although I know you guys would never do that, that kind of, like, backs me up on what I'm saying. I'm, like, me, like, knowing that you guys aren't going to do any of that. But mm-hmm. also, it makes me very, second-guess how, like, ungrateful I am about things. Because I don't have to put up with that.
Perspective,
and, yeah.
Right?
And yeah. I'm also, the thing you bring up a lot is, like, that's a first-world problem. And, like, where we were there, that's a third-world country.
Yeah. I don't know if Mexico is technically a third-world country or not, but obviously... Where we were at, it certainly looks like one.
Yeah.
We've been to Kenya, which is a third world country, I believe. And it's some spots, it's very difficult to tell the difference between Mexico and Kenya. So,
yeah.
And then the next day, talk about what we did. That was kind of it was the same day, but it felt like two different days. But that was the next event, what do we do?
That was when we had, like, that whole event. So they had a storage house at, like, that church elderly area. We loaded toys into, like, two different pickup trucks and a van, and we drove them to, like, this big, like, park where they had, like, we had rented it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we unloaded all the toys, divided them up between, like, genders, boy, girl, and then there was just, like, toys for everyone. And then we also had blankets set up, and then it came later, but we had pizza for them. But yeah, we put toys, like, we just set up all the toys and, like, chairs and stuff. And while y'all were doing that, I played soccer with, like, three of the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're really good at playing with the local kids everywhere we go. So that's pretty cool. I know you enjoy that, and you just do a good job of just, you know, kind of getting down at the level of whatever age kids you're with and just having fun with them. That's pretty cool. We set up about 300 chairs, or they set up about 300 chairs, and we gave away all the toys we had. It was, I think, close to 2,000 people that actually showed up.
Yeah, for sure.
They did some worship. Will shared his testimony. Several hundred people got saved. And then we handed out the toys, we handed out the blankets, the food. They really did what Jesus did, right?
They yeah.
Fed the people.
Fed the 2,000.
Yep. Clothed the people. Yeah. Jesus feeds the 2,000, right? Is that how many it is in the Bible?
Oh, no. It was well over. The estimate was 5,000, but people.
With women and children.
There are rumors that it was like over 10,000.
Yeah, yeah. So, but we'll just call it 2,000. It's close enough.
Yeah.
For what we did. And it's pretty humbling to see. So we're there a couple days before Christmas, and the average American kid, if your only Christmas gift was what those kids were getting.
I would not be grateful. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So once again, it's a really, and they were there. There was kids there well over an hour early, just waiting because it was kind of a first come, first serve for at least a seat. And when you think, what a big deal, even, you know, some of the kind of the dinky little toys that we were giving out were.
Those little, like, dolls, like, they were everyone wanted them.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of stuff
that. I mean, you probably gave out over 500 of those.
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff that most American kids would just pitch the second they was given to them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else? Like, when you go on a trip like that, how does that make you feel?
I already brought it up, but, like, the main word that comes to my mind is, like, gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you bring it up a lot, and like I said, third world, second world, whatever you want to call it, you're always like, that's a first world problem. And whenever I hear that, I'm either like, fair enough, or I get really annoyed because I'm like, yeah. I don't care. It's a problem.
Yeah.
But gratitude, because if any kid saw the average life of an American, like, or any person in Mexico saw the average life of an American, they would probably, like, if they even had like a day to spend just like that, they'd probably start weeping.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, it's crazy. Cause like, I mean, like Pastor Caesar, he had a nice house, especially for Mexicali.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they just probably like the people there's people living in tiny little shacks. Like people are literally living in like a closet.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who just like there was a kid, I remember when we were going back and forth dropping off the toys, there was that kid who kept walking up and down,
mm-hmm.
and he probably had a home, but it's just like driving back, like there were like wooden sticks sticking up as fences, and they were like bathrooms that people were living in, that looked like they were living in, and it was just like mind-blowing.
It makes you very grateful to be born in America.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Minus half of our government.
Well, yeah, yeah, we've got our own issues, but you know, I use the phrase, it's a first world problem on you guys, but I also use it on myself a lot because, you know, we're dealing with, you know, some roof leaks right now.
Yeah.
And it's a nuisance. It's the fifth and sixth time we've had roof leaks in this 3 years we've been at this house.
I think they'd be grateful for that.
Right now, I don't know if you know this, there's people in California in the San Diego area that literally, like, they just had some massive mudslides and their houses are pretty much destroyed. So, saying, man, you know, it sucks having a roof leak, but we still have a house. Most of our house is dry. And it's just good to have perspective, which is one of the reasons that we're very intentional to make sure that you guys are exposed to what it's like in the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world is much more like Mexico than it is the United States. You understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want to talk about coming home and the adventure that was?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just, like, start at the beginning?
Sure. Let's tell a story. This is kind of fun, right?
We left whatchamacallit, Pastor Caesar's house.
Yeah.
And we were going to say goodbye to Matt and Will before we left once we crossed the border. So it was, like, difficult to, like, find the border. It was it was definitely a longer drive than it was getting to Pastor Caesar's house. So then Pastor Sivas gave us directions on how to be on, like, the far left lane of, like, the 4 or 5 lane.
Right, because it was the global border. Sentry lane that's supposed to be really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we drive all the way down, but, like, we can't go through there, so we have to kind of, like, jump into the lane in front of us. So we wait for, like, 8 cars to pass. We sneak in, and we're about to
merge.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're about to like pass the border and then some Mexican officer calls us over and he's speaking like a million Mexican words per second. So we have no idea.
No habla inglés.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my dad and him had to have a 20-minute Google Translate conversation and my dad was explaining what we were doing and the guy was.
So what was going on in your mind
oh,
when he initially pulled us over? Because I could tell that you were It seemed like
I was like,
you were
terrified.
Nervous. Yeah, yeah.
I thought we were gonna like go to prison for like I don't know. I don't know. I was like just confused because like I don't know what an issue is because we were just passing in.
Yeah.
But basically he was gonna like make us like he was gonna like take your license or something and we were gonna have to stay an extra night and then get it in the morning. My dad explained how we had been there on a mission trip and like giving out stuff and a guy was nice enough to let us go. So then we had to go around like we had to go down like 10 blocks to find the back of the line. And then we called Pastor Caesar and we told him about how, oh yeah, yeah. And Will and Matt also got stopped for like a similar thing, and the officer that pulled him over is like crazy, and he said that he was gonna keep Matt or something like that for like another week.
Yeah. So basically, the way that they operate on this border is that if you merge with anyone, they're gonna send the cops after you. You have to go all the way to the back of the line and even drive past it so that there is no one, you're not cutting anyone off, you're not merging in front of, even if someone lets you in, what we experience is that they're going to get you.
Yeah.
And so I got in the correct lane, but because it was moving, no, I got in the wrong lane because the correct lane was moving so slowly that I thought I was in the wrong lane. So I moved over one lane thinking, okay, this is the lane I'm supposed to be in. And then it came to a dead end. I merged in for the Century Lane.
And that's when we got called over.
Like you said, literally like one car from where the barriers were, had I gotten in there, there's nothing they could have done at that point. And I did think about just ignoring him and going in, but I, for whatever reason, decided to listen. And so got merged over. He called us out. He stopped and, you know, definitely my Spanish isn't so good when I'm under the pressure talking to a Mexican cop who doesn't speak English, or at least appears to not speak English, whether or not he didn't speak, honestly, I don't know. And basically it's like, you have to give me your license. I'm going to keep your license until you come back and pay this fine. And my gut is telling me this is just a bribery.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, in Arizona, it's actually pretty easy to get a replacement license. So I'll let them have my license and I'm not going to pay the fine. Not going to come back. I'm just going to get out of here. And then I'm like, do I really want to leave my ID here in Mexico where who knows what kind of ID theft and forgery is going to happen with it? So do I pay the bribe or offer him something to be able to take the license and get back? Trying to reach pastors, called Matt, who does speak Spanish, and he's with Will. And ironically, they're in the same predicament as us, but they're being told they're going to keep Matt until the next day, like you said, which that would have been a very terrifying threat for us because I would have had two minor children stranded in Mexico. You know, that would have been crazy. I don't know what I would have done. But Matt speaks Spanish, but he's tied up, you know, trying to handle his issue, called Pastor Caesar and couldn't get through initially. And then I remembered a story that I'd recently heard on a podcast or something like that, where someone had shared a similar type of incident. Maybe they were smuggling Bibles into like a communist country or something like that. I don't remember exactly what the details were, but basically it was someone who was doing something good and they were being harassed by the cops and they basically appealed to just like common decency. And that story came to my mind as we were dealing with this cop. And I used Google Translate and basically said, hey, we came down here yesterday. We came down here to deliver toys to an orphanage. And would you please just give us grace and let us go? And I handed the phone to him and you could just see his countenance change. And he just kind of looked at me and he commented on the veteran marking on my license and made some comment about veteran. I said, yeah, Marine Corps. And he's like, You can go. So we made our way back to the end of the line, which was even further back. Ended up taking us over 3 hours to get through, right?
Just through the border?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, and that was with with our global entry cards.
Yeah, because we had a drive-through and then we got stopped because we didn't have like your car registered or whatever.
Didn't have the car registered attached to my account. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. How'd you feel? Like, did you feel like an American coming through the border?
I think so.
Well, I mean, just like the way you're being treated, like you're going home. It doesn't feel like you're getting welcomed home.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a very ironic set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, excellent.
Yeah. Your story was way better than mine, by the way.
Well, still, but I could tell you're obviously sitting behind me. And I could just tell you're really nervous. And, but I was just kind of praying, you know, in my head, like, you know, what should I do? And I'm glad that story, you know, God just kind of planted that memory of that story in my mind. And, you know, I'm appreciate you guys having a great attitude when you come, because obviously you're on Christmas break. I know there's other things you'd rather do, but I think it's so important to expose American kids to what life is like in the rest of the world. And the reality is you've been to Oasis Village, you know that it's, Oasis Village probably looks more like Mexico than Gilbert, Arizona, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the reality is, you know, if you're in a spot where you're like, man, we don't have the money to go to Mexico or some other country for a mission trip, you don't need to. Go find a place, go find the slums, the low-income housing in your community, and, you know, find people who are used to doing ministry there so that it's not more dangerous than it needs to be, but expose your kids. And, you know, for me, I've done, you know, a number of missions trips. I'm certainly not a missionary, but I've done enough, but I feel like there's a discipline. I don't have to go on these, but I feel like it's good for me to sleep in, you know, less than ideal circumstances, eat less than my favorite food, get dirtier than I like to do, and just serve people. It really brings back that gratitude.
Yeah. So,
any final words of wisdom?
Don't cut the line when you're crossing the border.
Don't cut the line when you're crossing the border. That is wisdom you can take to the bank. Absolutely. Well done. Well, hey, friends, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Dylan, thanks for joining me, bud.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun to get your perspective on all this. And if you could do a mission trip to any country in the world, where would you want to go?
I don't know a lot of, third world countries,
mm-hmm.
but like mission trip, I don't really know. Anywhere that I can help people is fine.
Cool. I love that. Because a lot of people say, oh, I want to go to Fiji or something like that.
Yeah.
Some tropical island. So awesome, buddy. Thanks for joining me. Friends, find a way to serve before the year is over and hopefully before the month is over. Find a way to serve others just to cement your gratitude for the many blessings that we have. Have a great day.
Peace.